Amen. Let us turn to Revelation and the seventh chapter. And I hope you're not weary of me reading these verses. But I've been asking the Lord for quite some time, what is the meaning of this? What are these four winds? So let me read a few verses, seventh chapter, Revelation. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Hold on here. Holding the four. The four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I heard another angel ascending from what? Oh, I saw, I'm sorry, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So my question to the Lord is, what means this? What are the meaning of these winds? Now, it's interesting that we were talking this morning about the storms, not only the storms that bring wind, but the storms that bring destruction and water and this type of thing. So let us go back and begin to examine this a little more carefully. Four angels, we know that they are God's angels. By the way, let's start with the number four. First of all, what is the meaning of number four? And by the way, if you have any of you have the answers, just unmute and give me the answers. I don't have all the answers, and I'm always glad to hear from you. What is the meaning of number four?
Okay. Tribulation.
Tribulation, okay? Yes, certainly is tribulation. Four is also the number of the human soul. And when the human being goes under tribulation, what is it that hits him the first? It's his soul. So if we're talking about tribulation of the soul, we're talking about what? The mind, the will, the emotions, and the desires. Now, if we're dealing with a human soul here, okay, we're dealing with tribulation. We're talking about these four winds that are going to have an impact on the human soul. We're talking about these four winds that are going to probably bring some great amount of tribulation, not just to the earth out there, but to our earth as well. Okay? I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. We're four, four, and four, okay? Four corners of the earth. So, what are the four corners of the earth? Does the earth have four corners? What are they, Mike?
The soul.
Okay, but in the natural earth, we have four directions, don't we? We have north, east, south, and west. And even in scripture, now it doesn't give these northeast, it just says the four corners. But when it does give these, for instance, when it talks about north, we're talking about something that is not very pleasant coming down. We're talking about invading armies and this type of thing. So when we're talking about east, we're usually talking about something that could come from the mind of God. But there's the four corners of the earth and holding the four winds. Now, are we talking about natural winds? What are we talking about here? Revelation, brethren, is a spiritual book. So don't expect to read your news someday and say there's a hurricane coming from all four directions at once. Well, it could, but that's not what this is talking about, okay? This is talking about the spirits. A wind is a spirit, is it not? It blows, you can't see it, but it has an effect. And the Lord likened the Holy Spirit to the wind. It says it blows, you don't know where it is, but you can see that, you can feel the results of it. So we're talking about four spirits, are we not? Can you agree with me on that? Four big spirits, that the wind, these four spirits, should not blow on the earth. Okay, help me out here. Earth is what? Earth is the carnal man. So we're talking about on the human soul that should not blow. They're holding it back from the carnal man. How many of you have a carnal man yet? Amen? Yes, we've still got a little earth here. We're not totally spiritual. We're living in a natural body of flesh. We have to feed it. We have to take care of it. We have to sleep. We have to rest. We have an earth. Yes, okay. However, so should not blow on the earth or on the sea. What is the sea? It's the sea of unredeemed humanity. All right? Many, many, many unsaved people out there. So we're holding it back from the carnal man, okay? From the sea, but also on what? The tree. What is the tree? The tree is the strong Christian, all right? Tree is green. Tree is life. Sometimes the word talks about the grass. That would be the weak Christian. The slightest drought, the slightest trouble, the grass is all frizzled up and it's gone. But the tree is steadfast. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth fruit in your season. So a tree is not easily shaken. All right, now in the beginning here, in the beginning, these four winds are being held back from the soul of the carnal man, and that could include the carnal Christian as well, from the world, okay, and from the Christian, that it would not do any harm. All right, now I saw another angel ascending, and this time it's from the east, because this angel is coming from the mind of God. East, the mind of God. God is sending it. This angel is what? Where's this angel coming from? No, but where? From the east. Is it coming up or is it coming down from heaven? It's coming up. So this is not a heavenly messenger. Angel means messenger. And this messenger is rising, coming up out of the carnal realm and coming into a more heavenly realm, ascending from the east. And this angel has the seal of the living God. Now, what would that be? So who is this angel? What is this angel?
The messengers of God.
Messengers of God, okay. Now, can we be part of that angel? Yeah, we can be. Because we have the message. What did that angel carry? That angel carried the seal of the living God. So what is it that's going to seal us? What is it that's going to seal us in our mind? It's the word of God. Amen? It's the end time message. It's the kingdom of God. Amen? This is going to seal us. And we're going to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we're going to know what's coming. And we're going to be sealed. Sealed means we are going to be unmovable. We are not going to be shaken by the wind. Amen? We are not going to be swayed by the movement, by the popular movement that are moving across the world, moving across the nation. We're not going to be swayed by that in any manner, okay? And he having the seal of the living God. So this message, brethren, I believe with all my heart, the message of the word that we're preaching and that you're preaching, amen, and you're preaching to your neighbors and wherever you get a chance, this message is the seal. And anyone who will receive this and believe it will have that seal in their mind, their soul will be sealed. Now, brethren, we need to allow the word of God to not only affect our mind, but our will, our emotions, our desires. How many of you believe that you really have your emotions under control? That they are not moved by anything except the Spirit of God. Amen? If not, we need to be calling out on the Lord. Our desires. Do we still have a lot of desires that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God? Just ask yourself, will. Is my will stubborn? Is my will been broken? Then I will yield to the Master with what he wants me to do. No, I'd rather do this. No, I'd rather do that. No, we need to have our will in subjection, in submission to the word of God. All right, so let me move on. And he cried with a loud voice. I like that loud voice. Amen. In other words, it's going to be heard. He cried, this message is crying with a loud voice also to these four angels. Did you know that you were preaching to these four angels as well? And you were crying to God, who is in control of these four angels, okay? To whom it is given, now wait a minute, to hurt the earth and the sea. What's missing here? The earth, the carnal realm, the carnal man, the carnal Christian, yes? The man who is ruled by his carnality, and the sea. So the hurt is eventually going to come to the earth, the carnal Christian, and the sea, which goes along with Revelation chapter 11. Amen. Measure not the outer court, for it is given to the Gentiles to trample underfoot. So that's the earth. Amen. And then, of course, the whole world is going to be trampled by it as well. Saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now you notice the word we. That angel has a corporate pronoun here. Till we have sealed the servants of our God. So we are, basically, we are giving a word that will seal one another. Amen. I'm giving Brother Opie a word. He's giving me a word. Amen. Brother Daniel's giving me a word. Amen. We're sharing a word that is going to seal the servants of our God. Okay. Now, we're looking at the four winds. Let me back up a little bit to Revelation chapter 6. Now, you say, Brother Mark, why are we going backward? I thought the book of Revelation was chronological. Well, it is somewhat chronological. Okay, you have your seals, you have them in an order, you have your trumpets, you have the vials. Okay, yes, there is a certain order, but there are things in the Word of God that are also, I'm going to use the word parenthetical. That's a big 99-cent word. It means if you put a parenthesis around it, what it's doing is further defining something that might have already been said. So let's go back to another four in the sixth chapter, the four seals. Now, I understand there are actually six seals being given here, and when the seventh seal is open, it opens up into the trumpets. Okay, the seals are revelation, the trumpets are announcements, and the vials are the pouring out, and in other words, it's actually happening in the reality. But there's a lot of reality in the opening of the revelation of the seals as well. So these are things that are actually going to happen as well. All right. The interesting thing about these seals is that there are four of them. The first four are very similar. The first four involve a horse, a type of horse that is seen. Now, maybe you can help me. What is the meaning of a horse in Scripture?
A spirit.
Okay, but what kind of a spirit?
Strong one. Strong.
All right. Can you define that a little further?
You know, I am a little bit ashamed of seeing that, so.
I would say a horse is a type of spirit involved in some kind of warfare. All right. Now, where I grew up here in America, I was right at the edge of where horses were no longer being used in agriculture. My father had a big team of Belgium horses, and they were big. I tell you, they were big. Their hoofs were as big around as my head. And when they came through the barn, they're stomping their hoofs, and it seemed like the whole barn shook at their footsteps. Agriculture, but that's not what the Word of God. The Word of God uses oxen mainly for agriculture, and that's apparently what the Hebrew people use. So the horse was reserved for warfare. In fact, one of the words given to Solomon, as I recall, that he was not to multiply horses, which meant that he was not to be looking for more warfare. I'm not sure that he really obeyed that, because I read that he had hundreds and hundreds of horses. So let's go back here now to the first seal, chapter 6. And we're going to read this, and we're going to look at what it says here. And it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." Remember, only the Lamb was worthy to open these seals. The opening of the seals are opening of a mystery. How many of you believe that there's still mystery in the book of Revelation? Still things that we don't quite understand. Well, let's try to understand these things, all right? I think God is giving us now, in this time, in this generation, a time to press in and let these things be opened up. "And when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" So he certainly got the message. There was something here to see. "And I saw," remember, he's seeing, he was in the spirit. He's not seeing natural things, he's seeing spiritual things. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." All right. Help me out here. What is this white horse? White, nice color, isn't it? Looks innocent. Looks like he might be a nice, pure little horse that we can trust. What do you think, brother? What?
It should be the horse that Christ would be riding. It's his horse. But in this particular case, I believe that it's not Christ that's riding this horse, but rather the Antichrist.
All right. Now let's look at the horse of Christ. It's also a white horse. And that's over here in chapter 20. And I saw heaven, chapter 20, verse 11. No, 19, verse 11. I'm sorry. And I saw heaven opened. Sorry, he's seeing into heaven. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. All right, it's a war horse, all right. He's making war, but look, a different rider, okay? His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And by the way, the crowns that we see here are diadems. They're not just a little bunch of leaves from an olive tree, a chaplet. It's a genuine king's crowns. Amen. Metal, golden crowns. He had many of them. Amen. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon more white horses. Amen. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Okay, we got the sword here, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath. Amen. Wait a minute. The winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, that's a description of the Christ and his white horse. Now here's another white horse that's going out, and he's given the opportunity to conquer. So in other words, he's a spirit going out to conquer. And what would he be going out to conquer if he's a spirit? He's going out to conquer minds and souls. Where? Of men. What kind of men? The sea and the earth. So he's going to bring some very strong deception, shall we say. He'll conquer. How does Satan work, by the way? He doesn't have the actual power. He does it by deception.
Oh, it's going off.
This is how he got Eve to fall in the Garden of Eden. Was totally by deception. All right. So let's go back to this white horse. Behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow. No, I find that interesting. He didn't have anything but a bow. I would think that if you had a bow, you had to have some arrows to go with it. But I'm wondering if he's using this bow by deception, threatening that he can really bring something stronger. Here's my bow, but nothing to back it up. Okay? And a crown. Now, by the way, this crown is very different from the crowns, many crowns, that Jesus Christ, the King, had upon his head. He had diadems, which were golden crowns. This is a chaplet. This is the kind of thing that you got in the Olympics if you won the race. A little olive branch you put across your head. It was there. It was good for a little while you prayed it up and down the street. And tomorrow it was all wilted and gone. But you got your honor. You got your attention. Everybody noticed. So he sat on him. He had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. All right, we'll look at the detail of this one a little bit later. Let's look at the next one. The second seal, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. So each beast or living creature, let's call them living creatures. They're not awful looking evil things. They're living creatures that are before the throne. And I think as we looked before, these beasts actually represent the human soul. You know, they had the attributes of first chapter of Ezekiel. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. You make anything of the color red? No? Well,
war.
Pardon?
War.
Red sounds a little bit like war, doesn't it? Amen? And so let's go on. Another horse that was red, and power was given to him. Now, this word power is in parentheses here, which means that it isn't in the original text. But what it implies, in order for him to do that, it implies exousia. In other words, he's given authority to do something. He didn't have it. He had to be given this authority. And shall we say, and authority was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Who was it? Brother Daniel, I believe it was talking about how the Lord is the one that brings peace, but the enemy is the one that takes the peace from the earth. All right? He's given the authority. He's given the right to do that because it meets God's purpose at this time. So he takes the peace from the earth that they should kill one another. Now, this isn't just out and out declaration of war. This is a spirit that's coming into human beings that you would think should be peaceful neighbors that you have, people of the world, neighbors. And all of a sudden, one day, they're ready to kill you. You drive by them with your car. They don't like the way you drove. You honked your horn or something. And they're ready to pull out a gun and shoot you. Now, I remember when this first started, the first time I ever heard about this was on some of those freeways in California. Do you remember back that far, Mike? What was it? Back in about the 1970s or 80s, we heard about somebody pulling a gun on the freeway and shooting at somebody. Well, it seems like it's happening practically every day now. So I'm wondering if these spirits aren't already, well, have they been released, or are they kind of leaking? Some of the spirit is getting out already. So taking peace from the earth that they should kill one another. Parents are killing their children. Children are killing their parents. A gang of teenagers come into the Burger King, and they start harassing a family. They're ready to kill them if they could get away with it. People want to steal somebody's car, take a gun out, kill him, drag him out of his car, run off with his car, find somebody in the parking lot, kill him. I mean, this is what's going on. I'm sorry, maybe it's been happening all along and we didn't know anything about it, but I don't think so. I think it's something that's happening more and more. And I see signs that this spirit is pushing to really be released. What's going to happen when this thing is really released? Amen? Are we going to know it? Take peace from the earth that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. A great sword. Now, I'm going to tell you what kind of a sword this is, and maybe you can tell me what difference it is, because down in the fourth horse, the rider, it was a different kind of sword. And there had to be a reason for the word giving two different names for two different kinds of sword. This sword, it says it was a great sword, so it wasn't something small and tiny, but the word is dagger, or knife, or slaughter weapon. So if you're butchering pigs, I suppose this would be the kind of instrument you'd use, the sword to kill the animal. There are bigger swords, but this one was great, and it implies that there's going to be what? That there's going to be war, and there's going to be violence. Okay, that's the second. The second horse is red. First horse is white. Second horse is red. And by the way, where do you find the color red? You find it in the 12th chapter of Revelation, and I'm just going to go over there for just a second here. And in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. What color? This is who? This is Satan. What color is he presenting himself? And I believe if you look at that word red, you find that the actual color is said to be fiery. Fiery red. Not just a fire engine. Well, maybe that's what do they call fire engine red? You can get some of your cars painted fire engine red. I don't know. Did you ever want a fire engine red car? Well, that's kind of red. So this is the color red. All right, let's go to the next, the third one, the third seal. And when he had opened the third seal, now remember, we're talking about the four winds here. I believe it's the same thing. These are the four winds are four spirits, and these horses are four spirits. Are they not? Well, Brother Mark, why don't you go ahead and prove it? All right, let's go ahead and prove it before we go on here. Let me go back to Zechariah chapter 6. We're going to have to do Zechariah sooner or later, so we might as well do it now. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah is hard to find sometimes, isn't it? What page is it, Rita? 780, my goodness. Oh, I gotta go further. Zephaniah, Haggai, then Zechariah. Okay. So all right, let me look in the first chapter. There's horses. All right. Zechariah is very interesting. Again, there are four. So in the first place, they're quite peaceable. Let me read first chapter, verse 8. Well, let's go back to verse 7. It says, upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord to Zechariah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding a red horse. So we're starting with a red one here. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were at the bottom, and behold, and behind him there were red horses. This word, this second word, red, has a little different meaning. I think it means bay, okay, and speckled and white. So the speckled is the grizzled horse here, the fourth seal. All right, now, so we have the same colors. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said to me, I will show thee what this be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered, so there's a man down there among those horses, answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. So let's establish right now that any of these horses are under the Lord's control. He may give them over, give them authority to create war and to create killing and all that, but he's still in control. So he's in control of these horses, all right? And these are the horses now. He sent them to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, all right, so they're giving their result. They went out in the earth. Here's the answer that they have. We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth and is at rest. Sitteth still and is at rest. So at the first sending of these horses, there was peace. It's peace on the earth, okay? The Lord sent them out. They came back with the answer, peace. Well, I'm not going to read anymore. It goes into more prophecy about the days of Jerusalem. So now we're going to prove that these are spirits. So now let's go to chapter 6 of Zechariah and the first 8 verses. And I turn, so Zechariah is one that really, he gets to see horses, okay? And I turned and lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there came 4 chariots out from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. Brass is what? Judgment. So these are horses. Now they're coming between mountains of brass. Okay, and by the way, these aren't just horses ridden. These are now hitched to chariots. So I would believe that there's probably 2 horses hitched to each chariot. Okay, and the first chariot were red horses, plural, red horses. Okay, and in the second chariot were black horses. And in the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Okay, I think grizzled and bay probably speak of almost the same thing. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the 4 spirits of the heavens. Hello? Do we have an answer here? These are 4 spirits of the heavens. Now, there's no reason to believe that these spirits have disappeared by the time we get to Revelation. The Lord still has those 4 spirits that he sends throughout the earth to accomplish whatever, to bring him a report. Well, he knows what's going on. He would know anyway. But he's using these horses. All right, let's go on. And the 4 spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. the Lord, the boss, the king of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth unto the north country. Black going north. There's trouble in the north. Okay? North brings trouble. Amen? And the white horses go forth after them. So he's sending a white horse. Quiet things down a little bit up north. Amen? And the grizzled go forth toward the south country. South is warm, bringing warmth. Amen? And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. So he sent the white horse to quiet things down in the north country. First the black horses, then the white horse. So anyway, I read that, the evidence here very clearly. These are the four spirits of the heavens. The four spirits of the heavens. Are they not the four winds, the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four spirits? Amen. Amen. The winds of the earth. All right, let's come back to Revelation 6. We've finished the second seal. Let's come to the third. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Okay? Black is not really a good color for spiritual. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. A balance was used for what? Weighing, measuring. He's measuring something. We'll get to that in a little bit. A pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure. So he's measuring, weighing wheat. A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Well, let's stop right here for a minute. What's the difference between wheat and barley? Which is the more sought after, the more valuable? The wheat, okay? The barley is supposedly an inferior grain. You can make bread, but it isn't quite up to what wheat is. So the measure of wheat for a penny, by the way, a penny means what? What is a penny worth here? The word penny. A penny is a day's wages. So you go out, you work hard all day long, and you get a penny. And for that penny, you can buy one measure of wheat, and you take that home, and you're going to have to feed your family on that one day's work. So you're living from, they call it living from hand to mouth. You're barely living. You're barely alive. You're only one step from starvation. However, you can get a better deal with the barley, and you can get three measures. Now, let's not forget that barley is also a type of the sons of God. Amen. The barley, remember Gideon, the barley loaves that rolled into the, what was the name of the enemy there?
Midians?
What?
Wasn't it Midians?
Yeah, Midianites, but there were others that joined them. Okay, So the barley loaves smote the camp. So it was the Gideon 300. Barley speaks of the Gideon 300 people. Okay, so moving right along. A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine. Well, where are we with oil and wine? Brother Daniel, what's the oil and the wine?
Yeah, you can see in the story that he's referring to the oil and the wine. It's about the man that he found on the way to Jericho. He put on the oil and the wine, and he paid what, 2 penny. This is the story about the 2 penny that you get from barley and the wheat. Barley comes up in the Passover. Wheat come up in the Pentecostal. He is measured the life and the experience of Passover in our life. And he is measuring the life of the spirit within our life. And it cost 2 penny. It is the price that he pays. He's measuring the Passover in our life. He's measuring the Pentecostal in our life. But why are he not measuring the Feast of Tabernacle in our life? It is because it's a prophet of the two others.
And if you spend more when I come again, I will make it up to you.
Yeah. So it's a measurement. He is surely measuring my life and your life today. Well, there is a 3 feast in Passover. He's measuring all of them. And that is a barley measurement.
So see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
Yeah. And we know that the difference between the oil and the wine is that one of them goes in, but the other one is outside. So there is anointing that comes within us, brethren, and there is anointing that is coming above us. We need both of them. We need to have the anointing of God within and without.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
I knew you had that word. Now, hurt not the oil and the wine. Amen. In other words, those of us that are of the Spirit and the Word, the sons of God, are not going to be harmed. Amen. We're going to have plenty in that day. We're going to have sufficient. We're not going to be starving. Amen. All right, the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. I think, sometimes called a greenish type of horse, grizzled, kind of a spotted horse. I don't know if you've ever seen these kind of horses. They made a movie, Clint Eastwood, The Pale Horse. And they were actually quoting from Revelation. I thought they kind of got it wrong, but I was very interested when he was playing the part of a preacher, and they said that he should leave, and he said, well, there's a lot of sinners there yet. I was very surprised that they actually threw that in. Yes, there were a lot of sinners there yet. So the pale horse, come and see, amen. And his name that sat on him was Death. So this is a horse that is going to bring some death. Amen. And hell, or Hades, followed with him. In other words, these who died were gobbled up by hell. As soon as they died, they went right into hell. Amen. Hell followed him, and power was given unto him. Now, this power is authority again. It's exousia. Power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger and with death. Well, I don't know. How do you kill with death? Just plain death. Any other way? Hunger, sword, and death, and with the beasts of the earth. So these could be spiritual beasts as well. Okay? Let's go to this sword, first of all. This is given a sword. This sword now is not a knife, okay? This is a saber or a cutlass. I don't know, some of you brethren might think of a machete. How long is a machete? About 24 inches? About 2 feet? But a saber or a cutlass, my understanding is a large curved weapon. And when they take the cutlass into battle, they're really meaning to take heads off of the enemy. It's a slaughter weapon, in other words, a slaughter weapon. So power was given to this horse to over a fourth part of the earth. Now, a fourth part is what? 25%. Let's go back to Zechariah again. And I want to come. Did I write this down? Oh, Zechariah 13. Here it is. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9. Okay. Let's start in verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord. Now, Brandon, I believe he's talking about the end time here. He's talking about the book of Revelation. This is prophecy. That it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So in Revelation, this particular spirit is given authority over 25%. Now here's a prophecy that says 66% of the population is going to be cut off. All right. What is the population? Let's believe to be 9 billion. And I read somewhere that they believe that it's the wrong number because they're not really taking census in some of the countries, different places, don't keep census. So it's just an estimate. So if there are 9 billion people and two-thirds or 66% are taken, that means that 6 billion people are going to die in this great tribulation. Brethren, when Jesus said this is a tribulation that has not been known since the earth came into being and the nations came into being and mankind came into being, nothing like this has ever been known before. So let me leave, and I will bring the third part, okay, the 33%, whatever, the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. All right, so we have a look at the four spirits. which I believe relate to the four winds that are being held back by the four angels at the four corners of the earth. All right. Now, what do I believe that these are? All right. First of all, the white horse. I don't believe that this white horse is necessarily bringing in war. I believe it is bringing in economic and political turmoil. Well, no, let me back off. Not the economic, political and social. Political. All right, we know that there are people who are putting together a one world order. They meet every year. They probably meet oftener than a year in Davos, Switzerland. It's called the World Economic Council. They are a very probability, the ones that will try to bring it in. We have a United Nations. They have the same goal. They also want to bring in the one world order. We have the what's the EU called? Economic. Does it have a name?
European Union.
European Union, yeah, the EU. And by the way, the EU was formed by what was called the Treaty of Rome. In other words, the Catholic Church, the Pope, set it in motion, and when it got going, they took the name Rome off of it because they didn't want their fingerprints left on it. So we have at least three, four, five organizations where the movers and shakers of this world, the bankers, the ones who hold the power, they have their elite clubs, and their goal is the same. They want to bring about a one world religion. They want to bring about a one world political order, a one world everything, okay? Now, in the social side of this thing, they're not just looking for a world government. They're looking to change the thinking of all the men, and they're using the term reset. men like Bill Gates are involved in this to reset the thinking of mankind. I made a list of some of the things that they are working on, and these things, I would almost say that these things are being released right now in our midst. With a great fervor. We'll call it the LGBTQ, that movement. You know, when I was young, anybody caught with this kind of activity was arrested. It was illegal, at least here in America. It was illegal. And it was a great shame to be caught involved in this kind of thing. What is it now? They're proud. They put on their pride marches. They proudly march up through the main cities of New York, wherever else they can get a pride march. They carry their rainbow flag. They want you all to believe, well, there's nothing wrong with us. It's just another alternate lifestyle. We choose this, you choose that. You choose to be straight, we choose to be this way. Tolerate us, give us our rights. We have the right. Well, they have a right to live, I'm sure of that. But do they really have a right to try to teach our children that this is the way to go? You know, thank God the Supreme Court finally made a ruling in the case of Maryland that the parents, when they know this kind of teaching is going to be done in the school, the parents do have the right to pull their children out that they are not involved in that kind of an influence. So, okay, we have the LGBTQ, very powerful movement, okay, becoming more powerful. Politicians, people running for high office are proudly saying that they're a lesbian, they're a homosexual, they're something, you know, something different. And we're supposed to accept it. You know, I'll tell you, when I see a politician that has taken that as a lifestyle, I say to myself, if they are so deceived about that, how can I trust them to make laws and enforce laws that are logical, that make sense? I can't trust them. I know they're deceived. All right, we're talking about a great move of deception here. Transgender, another one. I don't know if this is in the same. Oh, yeah, this is part of the T. The T is transgender. Total rebellion, again, against the word of God, against the plan of God. What does it say in Genesis? And the Lord made them male and female. Male and female created he them. Well, they've got this thing so subdivided. I don't know how many genders they've got now. What is it, 32? Tipping this way and tipping that way. One of the, I forget where it was, one of the cities, somewhere in the Midwest, it might have been Indiana. I remember they brought up at their council meeting that they needed to be open to this transgender thing. And the president of the meeting said, well, okay, if we're going to debate that, we're going to have to debate all 32 of them. And they said, oh, okay, forget it. They didn't want to sit down and debate all 32 of them. I don't know, maybe there aren't 32. It doesn't matter to me. It's all rebellion. When you try to come up with something other than what the Word of God says, you know, you try to convince a child that they were born wrong, that God made a mistake. Now, I may have mentioned this a long time ago. It is extremely rare. One in, I don't know, million or whatever, maybe Lucy could tell me what the odds are, that a child is born and it's very confusing what the child really is, okay? That is extremely rare. And they make a choice and they say, okay, we're going to go this way. It's called, the old-fashioned term was hermaphrodite, okay? It's very rare. It's not as common as people are made. They just want to change their mind. And I thank God it's so far.
It is called ambiguous genitalia.
Say it again.
Ambiguous genitalia.
Okay, you've got a better medical term for it, a more modern term for it then. It's very rare, isn't it, sister?
Yes, it's very rare.
And I would bet that you have never seen one in all your practice.
No. I've seen two cases.
Oh, you have? Okay. It's still very rare. Okay.
Yes.
That's the only. Yeah, that's the only legitimate cause for this kind of confusion. It's not that, oh, well, I think I'll change my mind. I'm pretty good at swimming. I'm pretty good at sports. I'm a guy. So if I change to be a woman, then I can beat all the women and I can win the Olympics. You know, thank God, I believe the Supreme Court is beginning to rule against this kind of thing. But it's going to be a very slow process. But I'm just saying this, that there are many, many people that are not involved in this that will go along with it. All right? School, principals in school will believe this thing. A teacher comes in, a student comes in, and they'll go along with it. Well, he wants to be referred to as a girl. Well, then let's go along with it. Let's support him in this. And you know what? Not even tell the parents. I'm talking about a move of a wind, a spirit. The teaching that goes on in the school. I remember in the 1960s when this thing started, that there came this obsession with sex. I'll just say the obsession with sex. And I was a public health nurse in those days in Alaska, and there was a woman, she was a champion of one of these, and she came in, and I remember her name was Mary Calderon. She'd probably never got real famous, but she came in and she was teaching us that, well, we're all sexual beings, you know, and children need to learn these things when they're in first grade. And we were treating venereal disease, and somehow that was going to be the cure of all this venereal disease. By the way, it didn't cure anything. It didn't stop anything. It didn't improve anything with all that teaching of children. All right, it's their obsession. Another thing is woke, W-O-K-E. Has anybody yet figured out what that word means? Jeremy, what's it mean? You must have looked it up. What's that word woke mean?
I don't know for sure, but
it sort of means you would be willing to go along with all this corrupt thinking, you know, all the LGBT stuff and transgender stuff and all this weirdo stuff. It's like the politically correct term for being willing to go along with all that bunch of malarkey.
Where did that ever come from? What's the W stand for? Oh, yeah, you guys are right. So let's define some of what's in that woke. One of it is racism. Really playing the race card, you know. One race is superior to the other is inferior. You have to teach everybody that if you were born this race, you were at a disadvantage. Or, come on, this is not in the Word of God. Racism, sexism, I don't know, that's a big word too. And I'll throw in to woke the thing called woman's lib. This is the sexism thing. Well, because women were held down for so many years, now they have to be appointed captains of all the industries, and they now, in order to make things right, they have to become the president and everything else. Well, you know, we've had two women that have run for president, and they haven't quite made it yet, have they? So, you know, God has set an order in the family. He expects the men to take the leadership in the house. He's expecting the women to be a helping role, to work together as a team. And this woman's lib, again, I remember in the 1960s when it started. And this woman, you're nodding your head. Was it before that, Mike? You probably weren't around before then, were you?
Well, I remember in the 60s when it started, and I remember also, I think it was 1967 that they called the Summer of Love in San Francisco, and that's kind of when it became like being promiscuous, instead of being a shame like it always was, it was now like glorified, you know, so that whole thing kind of started in the 60s.
Yeah, there was a woman that wrote a book. Oh, what was her name? The Feminine Mystique.
Was it Gloria Steinem?
Yes, that was it. She was the champion of the Woman's Rebellion movement. I call it the Woman's Rebellion movement. She was the champion. And the Feminine Mystique, well, I call it the Feminine Mistake. And again, she passed off the scene. Okay. Here's another thing that's come into in with this spirit. I've got a whole list of things here. You can probably add to it. Massive abortions. When did the Supreme Court first rule and say they had a right to it? Was back in the what, 50s? Late 60s? Anyway, that got overturned. Thank God it got overturned. But it's still the thinking of this woman's rebellion crowd that they have the right, and that the child that grows within them is not a child. It's just a mass of tissue. By the way, it isn't a mass of tissue for very long. When those cells start dividing, maybe Lucy could tell us, how long does it take until you've actually got the form of a human being here? It's only a matter of a couple of weeks, isn't it, Lucy?
Yes. Yes. It takes about, by the time the fetus is up to 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
To get a shape.
Yeah. 12 weeks is only 3 months, isn't it? And in 3 months, you have the form of a human being here now. And you probably have the heart beating already. It's not just a mass of cells that they're aborting. This is human being. You know, what did it say about John the Baptist? He was anointed in the mother's womb. When Mary walked into the room and he heard the voice of the mother of the Savior, the babe leapt in her womb. Now, this is not a mass of cells that just you can get rid of it anytime you want. Inconvenient for you. Sorry about that. But of course, this is the result of your big summer of love. You know, everybody, you know, there's a new definition, by the way, of what adultery and fornication is. Well, if you love one another, it doesn't matter. So that's the new definition of fornication. It's not a sin anymore. So again, this is deception that Satan is using to pollute the soul and the mind and the thinking of mankind. Here's another one, anti-Semitism. Give me a definition of anti-Semitism. Who's got the best definition? Nobody wants to bite on that one.
Saying anything derogatory against the Jewish people.
All right. However, do you know that that is a misnomer? Do you realize who the Sem is that they're talking about? The three sons of Noah were Ham, Sem, and Japheth, or Shem. Shem and Sem, the same thing. So technically, one third of mankind is a Semite. How do I know I'm not a Semite? How do I know I don't have Semite blood in me? Well, the truth be known, probably most of the people in the Middle East are Semites, because Abraham had, what was the name of his first son? No, Abraham.
Ishmael.
Ishmael. And the Muslim people call that the name is now Ishmael. Ishmael. But it's Ishmael. It's the same name. The name Abraham, they pronounce Ibrahim with an I. You know, these people are probably Semites, technically. So anyway, anti-Semitism, breeding hatred. Let me give you another one on my list here. The environmental agenda. Oh, my. We're destroying the earth. Started off with Save the Whales. save the whales, and then somebody added, save the whales and kill the babies, which is really what was happening. We want the right to kill our babies, but we have to save all the whales. We can't be hunting whales anymore because they're probably half human or something. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, everything we do, we're destroying the earth. Al Gore, who ran for president, he was vice president with who? Was it Clinton? Anyway, he tried to be president, and he wrote a book, Earth in the Balance. And how many years ago was that? Do you remember how long ago that was? Say it was about 20 years ago. Well, according to his book, we should be a pile of nuclear ash or something by now, because his prophecy did not come to pass. You know, all the ice is going to melt in Antarctica. New York City is going to be under 30 feet of water, yada, yada, yada. God has lost control of the earth. Well, there is no God, really. So if you don't believe there is a God, then you believe that he is not in control. Come on, God is in full control of this earth. So this environmental agenda was propagated by people that do not believe in God. All right. So I've got, that's the white horse, okay? DEI, yeah, DEI. What's DEI stand for? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. That means if you happen to have people that are pretty much alike in the same organization, you've done something wrong. So you have to go out and start mixing it up, whether it makes sense or whether it doesn't make sense, whether they're qualified or not. Thank God Mr. Trump is getting rid of that. But that, again, is another one of these social political spirits. Well, that defines the white horse. Amen? Oh, my goodness, look at the time. I don't have time to go beyond the white horse. We're going to get in the red horse, which is war. We're going to get into the black horse, which is the economy. And then we have to talk a little about the pale horse. I think this would be a good place to stop. Anyway, the white horse, he looks innocent. He looks pure. He looks nice. Here it is. You know, we're not going to hurt anybody. Oh, by the way, the agenda also is to reduce the population of the earth. There's too many of them. We're not growing enough rice to feed everybody. So therefore, a war would probably be a good idea. We can kill off a couple billion of them. By the way, this is the kind of thing that people like Bill Gates, this is their organization. There was a man who was the president of the World Bank. What was his name? He also had a high position in one of the presidents. This is back in the 1980s. Oh, I cannot think of his name right now. Anyway, he made a bold statement that we need to begin reducing the population. No, it wasn't Gates. Gates would probably agree with him. Oh my goodness, he was secretary of, what was it? Can't think of it. Anyway, I remember him saying it. He left after he was finished being with the president in the secretary of, might have been secretary of state. He went to be president of World Bank. And that's when he made the statement and published the statement that there were too many people on the earth, and we need, one of our goals has to be to reduce the population. Well, you know how that's going to happen. They'll support a good war.
All the laws.
Who'd you say?
Alden Clausen?
No, it wasn't that. You got to go back further.
Barber Carnival?
No. It probably goes back to the Bushes. I don't know if it's Secretary of State or what it was, but he had a high position. If you said it, I'd remember it. It almost seems like there was a W in the name.
Isn't this is the Malthusian theory? Didn't they call it that?
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I think they call it the Malthusian theory.
And tell us what that is.
Basically, population is rising and the food production's dropping, and at some point they cross each other, and that's where this theory came up.
Malthusian theory, population rises to geometric progression while it stops in arithmetic.
Come on, say it again.
See, all these winds that are coming from the social white horse, these are all generated by people who do not believe in God. They do not. They do not believe in Jesus the Savior. And they propagate all these theories about how we need to regulate humanity and how we need to teach children and how we need to reset all their values and everything else. This is a wicked, wicked demonic spirit originated from the devil in hell itself. This is a strong wind. And by the way, this I think is one of the first ones that's being released. Brethren, let me just say one thing. I want to turn back to Matthew 24, and I want to read you something that Jesus said. I know we're going over time a little bit. Jesus said it three times in Matthew 24, verse 5. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deceive many. He says that again. Oh, yeah, 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. By the way, false prophets can be Bill Gates. The world has their prophets. Al Gore, he prophesied that the world was going to go to nothing in what was it, 20 years? It's been 20 years. We're still here. Earth is still functioning. No, it wasn't Rockefeller. No.
I think Elon Musk also said it, that the Earth was coming to an end, that it was going to prepare Mars for men to relocate to. Elon Musk is one of them.
Say that again, Opie.
Elon Musk.
I lost you, brother.
You're muted, Obi.
I'm muted.
Yeah, okay. Muted.
Oh, sorry. Very sorry. Elon Musk also.
Oh, Musk. Yes. Yeah,
propagated a theory that the Earth was soon going to be destroyed, and there was need for Mars to be prepared for men to relocate to.
Oh, yeah. Musk. Yeah. By the way, he doesn't believe in God. And he's going to send us all to Mars. My goodness. Did you look at the last picture of Mars? It's covered with frozen carbon dioxide. Layers of frozen carbon dioxide. Do you know what temperature it takes to freeze carbon dioxide? We cannot live in that atmosphere. So if they want to go off to Mars or Venus or wherever, Let them go. Amen. We have the word of God. He is sustaining our earth. Amen. He's not going to let go of it. All right, let me read the other one. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Now, can we consider ourselves without pride among the very elect? The very elect means the chosen. The very chosen. We've been chosen. Come on, brethren. Not of our pride. It was the choice of God to choose us. Amen? But we are vulnerable. Jesus said we are vulnerable. So, brethren, we need to be hearing this. You're tired of hearing me, but we need to be hearing this and hearing this because when the fullness of these spirits are released, I talked about this white horse spirit, okay? I believe it's already being released. And I hope to God that there is a seal on our mind that we are not going to buy into this deception. All right, I'm going to quit. And we have a lot more to say. You have a lot more to say. I thought we'd have time to get through all of it. No. Sorry. Where's the recording?